Hello, Internet. I'm Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And the Screen Verdict Podcast is back. We're excited. It's a big one. It's going back to where it all began. Matt, what are we reviewing this week?
The Incredibles 2, which is a Pixar movie. And our first ever podcast was ranking all the Pixar movies.
Yeah, it would have been better if we reviewed The Incredibles as our first podcast. The link is a little bit more tenuous than that. It was Cars 2, but it was a Pixar podcast, and we ranked every single Pixar film, and we'll be doing that today. We'll be placing The Incredibles 2 within our Pixar rank, as well as giving it our review.
And The Incredibles was mentioned in that podcast as a Pixar film. We probably talked about it for a good 2 minutes. And this is actually, Incredibles 2 is the 20th Pixar movie. So from now on, the top 10 will be the top 50% until the next one comes out. And then I guess it'll be the top less. Like, if you made the top 10 now, you are in the top 50% forever now.
Yeah, and top 10 is, before it didn't seem that good, but now, with the standard, with the amount of good films and the amount of films now that they've done total, reaching that 20 milestone, it's no easy feat to get in the top 10 of our Pixar rank, because there are films that I like that didn't make it.
Yeah, like, they're all pretty good until you get to, like, about, you know, 16 or 17 or something on the list. And arguably they're all pretty good until you get to, like, 17. Oh, no, 18 on the current list. I'd say your top shelf, in my opinion, just looking at it now, the top 8. That would be my, like, absolute top-level Pixar. We'll get to that at the end after we've talked about Incredibles 2.
Yeah, when Earth inevitably destroys itself and we need to put some artistic works into a time capsule to blast into space, just to show other civilizations what Earth achieved in our existence. 8 Pixar films are going to be in that time capsule, according to
maybe
Matt.
Maybe 9 if Incredibles 2. Yeah.
There's getting less space in that time capsule almost every time Pixar releases a film.
Do you think, like, jokes aside, like, the Pixar canon and the top-level Pixar films are real great artistic and storytelling achievements, but I don't think this will be funny, like, you know, thousands of years, like, later when aliens or robots are looking back at, like, what humanity, like, was able to achieve, and they'll, like, look back and, like, they'll go, oh, there was this. So one of their, like, shining achievements was they made this cartoon of rats that cook, like, a dish called Ratatouille really well. And it was so good, they, in this big theme amusement park in Paris, one of the most cultured cities in the world, they built a giant Ratatouille movie-themed food court where people could buy probably hot dogs or whatever. Because there was this great movie about how rats could pull on people's hair and make incredible dishes.
It's, yeah. It is going to be great to look at our accomplishments without any context.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's up there that, like, I would say, people say, oh, it was great for a kid's movie. I wouldn't even categorize them as kid's movies. It's like, well, it's great for an animated movie. And it's like, well, it's not just great for an animated movie. It's like, it's great for a movie. It's great for a piece of artwork. Like, I think something like Toy Story is comparable to the Mona Lisa.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that. And it's funnier than the Mona Lisa. I have seen the Mona Lisa live, in real life.
In person, IRL.
And, like, it is quite an impressive, like, I was quite captivated by that,
If it was a Pixar film, what would it be? How highly would you rank it?
Probably the Ratatouille, right?
maybe that's how we should review Pixar films as well. Like, what artwork is this? Is this a Michelangelo's David? Or is this, something you could find at Venice Beach for $5?
Yeah, I do think, and look, some of these films, like Ratatouille, Wall-E, like, these movies, Toy Story 3, were not just a great kids' film or animated film, to your point, they were some of the highest grossing films of that year, any film, and some of the best reviewed films of that year, any film. Think Ratatouille and Wall-E were, like, better reviewed than, like, the Best Picture nominees at the Oscars that year. They were on, like, the high 90s on Metacritic.
We'll see how highly reviewed Incredibles 2 is as we review it now. So we're gonna do spoilers. It's been out a little bit. We want to delve into the story. So if you haven't seen it, well, go see it. Come back, listen to this review. Pause now. We gave you 6 minutes of just general Pixar discussion. So
if you want to know what I thought of the film without spoilers, I quite liked it. It's good. Check out Incredibles 2. There you go. I'll give the score later, but I did not like it. It'll be a positive review from me. How positive, you will need to listen to the spoiler section to find that out.
Well, there you go. It wasn't a wasted click, and for those of you that have seen the film or don't care about spoilers, I don't understand those people at all, but power to you. We'll hit you with our spoiler alert.
It's a quick anecdote. He's trying to...
We've teased the spoiler alert, but we're going to... It's going to come post-anecdote.
Well, I was talking to some people at church last night, and I was talking to, like, two people, and one was like, they said the Incredibles. They're not really that into the Incredibles, right? They're not really... I saw a bit of the first one, not really that into the Incredibles. And then the other person in the conversation said... you could watch The Incredibles 2 without seeing the first one, because it's really a movie for everyone. To which I commented, maybe unless you're not into The Incredibles. Like, it is a movie for everyone, but if you don't like Incredibles movies, it is an Incredibles movie.
Yeah.
We can do spoilers now, sorry.
Yeah. No, no, no. It seems, from what I've talked about with other people, it seems like Incredibles is quite a popular one. Particularly amongst people our age, because I feel like it was one that particularly appealed to perhaps a bit of an older demographic. I don't know if it was rated PG, but it felt like a little bit more of a PG film. It had a bit more, like, action-adventure than, some people are like...
It was rated PG because I brought it on a school excursion recently, and apparently we weren't allowed to show PG. but we did. So.
It's like, now I'm going to have to be careful what I say, because I know this podcast is going to get played in court. all right, very good. Incredibles 2.
I did justify that Incredibles 2 was just about to come out, so it's really important that we all see it. To refresh where we were up to.
Yeah, being up to date on pop culture that supersedes any any language rules at the school.
Yeah. Okay, spoilers? Spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoilers.
Not a superhero alarm alert. It was an alert that we are now going to be talking about spoilers. That's what we said indicates.
So, The Incredibles 2 kicks off I think in the timeline, not too far from Incredibles 1, begins with a bit of an action scene. Who are we chasing? Like the Underminer or something?
Yes.
This kind of like mole, groundhoggy looking dude that's got like a big drill. It's like driving it through the city, messing stuff up. And what's his goal? To rob the bank?
Yeah, he wants to rob the bank. A pretty your staple villain, cartoon villain plot, robbing a bank. I like this. The first movie ended on a cliffhanger with him emerging from the car park or whatever. And I was a bit worried since the sequel was so, like, done so many years later that they might have forgotten about that and just had a completely different story. I would have been very disappointed if that cliffhanger wasn't resolved. And they resolved it with a pretty fun and exciting scene. And I love the Underminer as a villain. I think he's a really cool villain.
It was a good way to kick off the film. And what I thought was, and I want to get your take on this, Matt, because there was a lot of sort of collateral damage caused in the pursuit of the Underminer, and the Incredibles end up getting in trouble. They're essentially told, "You shouldn't be. You've chased him around. Look how much like damage you caused. We would have been much better off just letting him take it. That money was insured." Yeah. Is that really the best approach to dealing with supervillains? Just, don't worry, it was insured.
Yeah, it's weird. Because, like, yeah, I need to watch it again. But, like, the Underminer, like, it's not like he was just very subtly robbing the bank of its money and the Incredibles find out about it and they, like, wreak havoc through the city, right? Like, he does emerge in a car park distressing civilians and things like that. I sort of feel like he's, like, it's probably that point you sort of do have a responsibility as a superhero to try to foil his plan. But maybe your priority should be on the safety of the civilians, not on the bank's money. Maybe that should be, so maybe it's a slight pivot from what they were focused on.
I think that's a surefire way to increase insurance premiums. Surely if you're an insurance company and a bank gets robbed successfully and you have to pay out on that, do you think you're going to continue to insure banks at the same rate? Don't you think other supervillains, or even that supervillain's like, that was successful, I think we can rob another bank?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the banks will stop getting insured, probably, and
would that have been a more interesting film if they sort of delved into the financial machinations of the insurance industry?
Yeah. Well, wasn't Mr. Incredible working for an insurance company? Or I got that wrong.
I can't remember. But, yeah, entire storyline they missed out on.
Yeah, like, they had a guy in the company. Like, that could have been a good scene if then he'd gotten in trouble. He'd gotten in trouble for, as the superhero. So just, hey, the insurance company can take care of this, buddy. You wreck things. And then he's the one in the insurance company getting in trouble going, why do you do that bank policy? Superheroes can take care of that. Like, what are you, like... don't fill out the insurance claim, man. Like, that's the superhero's fault. Like, the he got the money, yeah. I think it could have been, I think they generally did the right thing. Like, you'd need to go back and watch the tape to see, like, how much damage the Underminer would have caused anyway. But like, it was his machine. It was his truck. Like,
yeah. He was going to be drilling through stuff anyway.
Yeah. So I think a little bit, they were a little hard done by, I think, the Incredibles.
And the powers that be decide, that's it. No more superheroes.
Yeah.
And so the Incredibles family are forced to, I guess, live a civilian life.
Yeah, just do it all. And oh, the Underminer, sorry, just go back to the Underminer for a second. Shout out to John Ratzenberger.
Really?
So, for those that have listened, I picked up podcasts before and don't know this, John Ratzenberger, who played know-it-all mailman Cliff Clavin in the 80s sitcom Cheers, has been in every single Pixar movie. He plays a, yeah, so he's been in every single, and the Underminer is his character from the Incredible series.
Very cool. So,
one of his best movies. Up there with the flea from Bugs Life, and I don't know what's one. Yeti from Monsters Inc. I think there's some of his best friends.
Who's he in Toy Story, Mr. Potato Head?
No, he's the pig.
The pig. That's right. Yeah. Very good. So yeah, looks like an ordinary life for the Incredibles. Not so incredible, and kind of see them getting adjusted to living in a motel for a while until they get a call from, or a visit from one of your favorites, Matt Frozone.
Frozone. Where is my super suit? Just like people want that line.
And what's the pitch? How does he reel him back in?
There's a rich guy who wants to meet with us. Is that it?
Yeah. So there's some rich guy that I think has some political influence that could maybe get superheroes unbanned. Yeah. And you go, well, we kind of just to meet him. And so there's a brother and a sister that are running this corporation, and they're very pro superheroes. Their dad loved superheroes. Unfortunately, he was killed because he wasn't able to make a call to some superheroes, and he thinks we should have more superheroes, all superhero access all the time. And so We need you to go out there, and we'll get you some good publicity, not this bad Underminer publicity, and then we'll be able to swing the vote.
Mm. Yeah, it's all about you guys. You're not doing the wrong thing. It's all PR. It's your messaging. We're going to come in and take care of that for you. So you guys just do your superhero stuff, and we'll make sure we get it filmed, we get it we get the good news stories, we book you for the talk shows. This is your problem. You've been too focused on the hero work, not focused enough on the PR work.
the oft neglected PR work in the superhero industry. But his plan, unfortunately for Mr. Incredible, only involves Elastigirl, at least initially. What do you think about this decision? Do you agree maybe Mr. Incredible is a bit heavy-handed? We need a bit more subtlety to kind of deal with these superhero issues, so let's just go with Elastigirl for now.
I think if we're looking for a face of the superhero movement, Elastigirl is a better face of the superhero. Like, geez, I don't know about the physical appearance faces, but I'm saying, like, I think, her superpower is a bit of a cooler one. Like stretchy arms and things like a bit more of any. Like, if I just saw like someone like super strong come along and do something like super strong, I'd be like, oh yeah, like strong guy, like seen that before. Like, but I've never seen anyone like stretch their arms.
Yeah, it's like, definitely visually more. It's like, well, yeah, you're strong, all right. Like I go to the gym and bench press 200. You can bench press like 500. Big whoop. Like, but I can't stretch. I can't stretch my arms and like turn my body into like a parachute and all the other crazy cool stuff she does.
Yeah, so I think it's a cooler sort of superpower, like the TV and stuff like that. Because I've seen shows where people have lifted up cars and stuff. Now I get that Mr. Incredible is a lot stronger than that. Like he can stop trains and things. also like a bit of a like she's better spoken. Like she's a better voice as well. Like she I think frames it in a like you're less likely to look at her and go, she's gonna cause a lot of damage.
Do you think it's also sort of like a box office, like what's hot right now? He's like, look, Superman, you know, it wasn't that well received. Batman versus Superman, that was some straight garbage. No one's interested in a strong guy right now, but like Wonder Woman, you see that? You see the numbers that Wonder Woman's pulling in?
I think we're particularly in 2018 where like, you know, women are having such an important voice and role in society and things like that. I think it helps fit that narrative too. And yeah, it's sort of like just the strong family man, very sort of 1950s value, you know, sort of thing. So I think this is the right call. Get Elastigirl out there. Suck it up, Mr. Incredible.
So Elastigirl gets to go out on an adventure. I think the first one is she's stopping like a train. I think they're unveiling a new train line, but someone like hacks the train or something and puts it in reverse. She has to stop the train from crashing.
Yes.
Which that was pretty exciting. Whereas at the same time, Mr. Incredible is, what's he trying to do? He's trying to get Jack-Jack to go to sleep. He's trying to help,
Violet on a date, like, or at least she's going through a bit of, like, personal romantic problems at school. He's trying to be helpful with, and Dash is having to study.
He's trying to help Dash with his math homework.
Yeah, something like that.
So which would you rather? Would you rather be Mr. Incredible? Are you a homebody? Are you the domestic type? Or would you rather be, fighting the supervillain, stopping the train?
I think, like, in my head, I'd rather be out there stopping the train, right? But I think if, like, I was in this situation right now, and you say, like, there's this train that you've got to stop from, like, killing thousands of people by, you know, I'd probably go, I'm gonna blow it. I'm gonna, like, really... Like, I'm gonna screw it up. I'm not gonna ride the motorcycle well. I'm like, so I'd probably do a better job with the kids. But I'd probably like to be out there. I'd like to think of myself as someone who would be out there stopping the train.
I guess it depends on your superpowers.
Yeah. I was not thinking I had any superpowers in this scenario.
Yeah, without the superpowers, you're like, oh, I'm probably going to die, and everyone's going to blame me.
You can have trouble raising three kids, or you can die horribly and have everyone call you a failure afterwards. I'm going to go with the kids thing.
My kids are going to hate me no matter what. I'd rather not have the whole nation resent me as well.
Yes. If I had a superpower, maybe the train.
We have Mr. Incredible at home and dealing with the boyfriend thing was like sort of interesting. Doing the math was kind of funny. Like they changed math. How did they change math? That was sort of funny, but. For me, clearly Jack-Jack was the star of the scenes at home. What did you think of Jack-Jack?
Yeah, pretty funny. Like, I think it's a fine line a bit with, like, they've given Jack-Jack just, like, these different superpowers. And there's probably a fine line to that being, like, just super convenient and they can just have him do whatever they want that's funny and not worry about needing to be consistent and it just being something that's really funny because, like, they're just... He's already dealing with so much stuff, Mr. Incredible, and this is, like, the ultimate issue for him to have to deal with is this baby who's doing all these things that he's never had to deal with before. No one has ever had to deal with before. So I think it worked, and I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, I thought the scene, the kind of fight with the raccoon was hilarious. Like, that had me cracking up. It was a great way to sort of show his... powers in like a sort of like a comedic way. Because yeah, perhaps it would have been a bit convoluted if we were like, oh, Jack's got all these powers, you know, let's throw him into the mix and he's gonna save the world. And you're like, really? Like this baby that doesn't seem to control his powers is like, you know, but I mean, I guess they ended up using him, but it was funny to see him kind of have his own side battle, and it was kind of like seemed appropriate rather than, you know, the baby and the supervillain. It was like the baby and the raccoon. Like it made sense to get his own little funny side battle.
Yeah, no, I think that worked really well. And then when he takes, so Mr. Grobel has a few different strategies. The one for dealing with Jack is taking him to Edna Mode. Huge stand, great character, Edna Mode.
Yeah.
And I thought that scene was fantastic.
Yeah.
Voiced by Brad Bird, the director of the film.
Huh.
A bit like the guy who directed Thor Ragnarok.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe, possible SV nominee.
Yes. So, that was really cool. Dealing with Violet's boyfriend problems, his strategy is probably less wise than going to see Edna Mode, who probably would have had great relationship advice for Violet. I think why not take all three of the kids to... she can do everything.
Yeah, with all the sciencey stuff she does, I'm sure she's great at math too. I'm sure she could teach Dash a thing or two.
Yeah. The plan with Violet is to find out where the boyfriend works and take her, he's a waiter somewhere, and take her to a family dinner at that place.
Yes, because she thinks he flaked out on her, but really he had his memory wiped for seeing her as a superhero, which she doesn't know. So Mission Incredible tries to resolve this by trying to set them up. And I thought that was a pretty funny scene. One of the best one-liners is he's trying to compliment the water, and he's like, oh, great water, where'd you get this? And he's like, oh, I think it's just tap. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's great, some of the best I've ever had. And then Dash leans over and he's like, excellent tap.
Yeah.
I don't know why I found that so funny, but just like this kid kind of like talking about tap water as if it was like he was like a sommelier talking about wine, like, excellent tap.
Yeah.
Something about that just tickled me.
Yeah. That's good. Homework stuff, but yeah, he just ends up staying up late and bringing the homework work. Anyway, so there's drama going on there in the household. She stops the train. That's good news. I can't remember what else happens.
So the main battle, I guess the supervillain for the story is the... what's her name?
Screenslaver.
So someone that
cool
can...
name.
Yeah, it's like... It's a person that is a hacker, I guess, and can, like, hypnotize people if they can get them to look at a screen with whatever that doohickey stuff on it is. So
they use a screen to enslave people.
So Elastigirl finds... What does she do? She takes a call knowing it'll be tracked, and then they track the track or whatever to go get the guy, and... She fights Screenslaver, saves the day. I'm thinking, this is probably a bit early in the movie to have saved the day. Of course, that was not the real Screenslaver. That was just someone being controlled by Screenslaver. And it wasn't really a surprise who the real Screenslaver was, because, like, who could it be? They haven't introduced any other characters except for the rich brother and the rich sister. I guess you have three options. It's the brother, not the sister. It's the sister, not the brother. Or it's the brother and the sister.
Yeah. And I thought it was probably... I was leaning towards the... I thought the brother would be involved in this, to be honest.
Yeah.
He just seemed too into superheroes.
Yeah, when we first got introduced to him, it's like, oh, this super rich guy that's obsessed with superheroes. I'm like, this is suspicious. But then I guess after a while, you kind of saw how different and kind of separate the brother and the sister were. and it kind of made sense. So essentially, he just loves superheroes like his dad did, and she hates superheroes because she thinks her dad being obsessed with superheroes made him reliant on superheroes, and instead of trying to escape or calling the police, he tried to call superheroes when those burglars or whoever came in and they killed him. So she blames superheroes for her father's death. Whose side are you on with this?
The superheroes.
Well,
I'm on the like villain side.
Well, I mean, obviously she doesn't go about it in the right way by doing super villainy stuff. But just like in general, do you agree with just in specifically in relation to the argument about the father? Do you agree more with the brother or the sister?
Look, I think the father made error by, like, relying on a landline.
You're like, what year is this, bro?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, to be fair, what year did the original Incredibles come out? Because this isn't 8 years later. The Incredibles 2 is only set, like, 3 months later. So maybe this film's set in, like, the mid-2000s. People don't have iPhones yet.
Yeah, do you think if you're the head of, like, some billion-dollar, like, company, or you're, like, super rich, and you're working with superheroes and stuff, like, you'd have, like, at least, like, these really clunky big satellite phones or something? So, Incredibles 1, Incredibles
2004. Man, practically the Dark Ages.
So, before smartphones, but not before cells.
Not before the internet. Here's the thing. I mean, how are the cops going to be better than superheroes? They're not going to get there faster. They're not going to be any better in, like, a shootout or something, like, when they get there. My only thing is that once they're in the same room, it's too late to make a call to anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if he... I don't know what other options you had, whether there was some sort of, like, escape door or something else, but,
Yeah, they really needed a panic room.
Yeah. Or if they're that wealthy, like, better security.
Yeah.
Like, these... It didn't look like a SWAT team that broke in. It just looked like two cat burglars.
Yeah. Yeah, this wasn't the Underminer.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe can maybe see some of the daughter's frustrations, but I don't think screen slaving really, is the right way to go about it.
It wasn't really the superhero's fault, though, was it? Like,
no. I mean, if he could have just paid a superhero to be on site, this never would have happened. Maybe they needed closer, even more access to the superheroes.
Yeah. Do you think, well, they need that hero guy. Remember that show Heroes? Do you remember that old Heroes show?
Yeah.
Yeah, that hero guy, he could, like, freeze time and go back in time. Like, he could have helped.
Yeah, that's a powerful power. Doctor Strange, he's got to be one of the most powerful of the Avengers.
Yeah, not anymore.
All right, so where do we go from here? What's kind of like the, I guess Screenslaver's plan is her brother's getting everyone on a boat, and it's going to be a big PR thing. We're signing the thing to make superheroes legal again, and she's like, oh great, they're going to be all there at the same place at the same time. I'm going to screenslave all of them with these hypnotizing goggles. And I'm going to make them go after the Incredibles family and screenslave them as well. And that's where we get the whole team involved.
Yeah, so that's... I've got some issue with this declaration that they're all signing. But I think we'll talk about that more at the end of the film, because it ties in with something else that comes a bit later. So, yeah, and a lot of the Mr. and Mrs. Incredible get enslaved, too.
Yes. It's, They get enslaved, so it's not looking good. Things are going well for Screenslaver. It's going to be up to the kids.
The kids to save the day. The kids are always told, don't join us, stay at home. It's too dangerous for you. They end up having to save the day.
And that was pretty fun. I was rooting for them. I liked the kids. I felt kind of bad for Violet. I thought Dash was pretty funny. It was pretty entertaining. Seeing them with Jack-Jack, because they were kind of able to use Jack-Jack. I think they were able to get him to, like, shoot lasers or something at some point.
Yeah.
But he's also a handful. It's kind of funny seeing, you know, their dad's been having to deal with Jack-Jack this whole time. Now they're always having to chase him. He's always running off, breaking through walls, etc. And they're like, where's Jack-Jack? So, that was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was good. So they had the big showdown on the boat. It goes onto a plane at some point, I think, and stuff, and the Incredibles win!
Yep, Frozone gets in the mix. They stop the, they were trying to ram the cruise ship into the city or something.
Yeah.
And
just stopping it in the nick of time.
Was there anything after that? How does it end?
Then a judge rules that superheroes can be legal again. And this is where my sort of big issue comes in with the movie. What's the deal with this? Like, how come... So superheroes are banned, right? They're made illegal. And then that's apparently meant to be reversed in some, like... treaty with, like, bilateral, like, nations or whatever is, like, the process for reversing that. Like, that still wouldn't be binding unless it's ratified by Congress. And at the end of the movie, it seems like just some judge can reverse it. I think one of the people I was seeing with the movie, and I can't remember who it was, like, turned to me after the movie and said, judicial overreach.
So, basically what I'm saying is that the film lacked enough depth in its financial analysis and level of detail in the insurance industry, and what you're asking for is for more due process, kind of foreign relations, you know, let's get into that, let's go through that paperwork, make sure we dot our I's, cross our T's, and really, really get everything sorted out at every level of government.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that would have been more interesting. But it was very confusing that some judge reverses the whole line thing at the end.
That's, yeah. I mean, that is an argument for it being a kids' movie, isn't it? I think we need to stop pandering to these kids with dumbed-down versions of legal processes.
Yeah, because, like, there was no talk about that earlier in the film. Like, why don't we take this to court? Like, the judge can just reverse it, like...
Yeah, we need... Yeah. It should have spent a lot more time on the court case, maybe calling Edna as a star witness, give a rousing speech to rally the jury.
Or at least, like, have the president, like, say, oh, the Justice Department isn't going to challenge that decision because, you know, like, something like that.
Just introduce a character that gives a long explanation of why. Don't worry, this makes sense.
That was good. Do you think, so if you were one of the superheroes in the movie, Jonathan, which superpower would you want? Would you want, this Miss Incredible is super strong? Would you want Elastigirl's ability, stretchy arms? Would you want Violet's ability to be invisible and create a force field? Would you want to be Dash's ability, super speed? Frozone's, I know he's not in the family, but he's one of the key superheroes, because of ice, things, or would you want a Jack-Jack's, which I think is a bit of a cop-out, really, like...
Yeah, I want to be able to turn into a demon. I would say... I would probably say Dash's super speed, because not only is that helpful in fighting supervillains, I feel like that would be helpful in everyday life.
Yes.
Like, I could get ready quickly. I could, you know, if I had to be at work at 8:30, I could wake up at, like, 8:27. That would be nice. Yeah, if I was like, we just sat down, we're like, oh, we're ready for dinner, we're gonna watch a movie, it's gonna be great. Oh no, we forgot the ice cream. I could just go zip zip to the store, back, I've got ice cream. Our night is not ruined by having to take another trip to the grocery store.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Like, Dash, like, that was the only, I think maybe I'd go with Violet, because I feel like superpowers, it's good to, like, I think I'd probably be more a guy that would operate via stealth rather than necessarily, like, doing, like doing heaps of things, like, look out for the team, invisible and get to where I need to get to do what I need to do undetected. Quite good. And I like the force field too, because then I can, like, not get killed by anything. And I think invisibility can also help with life a bit too, but I can't think of any direct things, like, off the top of my head.
Hmm.
I feel like there's parties or situations where you just want to get out of, like, easily, and it'd be just...
The ultimate Irish goodbye. Yeah, those are definitely pretty useful. Good for staying safe. It's like, I can be invisible, no one's going to attack me, and if something goes wrong, like I bump a table or something, just use my force field.
I think I'd also just like to know what people said about me when I wasn't in the room.
Yeah, that was my thing, why I didn't pick that. I feel like it's a double-edged sword. Like, you'd be tempted to like, listen in on things, and you'd, like, end up regretting it.
Yeah, that's probably good, man. I think, I think also, like, if people that knew you had that ability, they would look at you very deep. Like, they'd never know whether you were there. Like, I mean, like, it's not an ability you want people to know you have.
Yeah.
Because then they'll just assume that you're using it for the worst.
Yeah. No.
Or if you do know anything or you're perceptive at all, like, he would just assume it's because you are. Oh, yeah, okay, so you know that because you were spying on us, you creep. Like, oh, you going to Sally's party on the weekend? It's like, okay, yeah, we're just talking about Sally's party. Yeah, nice one.
You're reading my text, you weirdo.
Yeah. I just saw on Facebook. He said you were going. You clicked attending.
I mean, I have been reading, like, other texts, but that one I saw on Facebook.
Yeah. I would not be stupid enough to say something that I could only know.
Look, like, with years of practice, I've got this stealth thing pretty down pat.
I think I would still get invisible. But yeah, I think, like, you are making the speed thing seem a lot more appealing.
Cool. Is there anything else in the movie you wanted to talk about, or are you ready for a verdict?
I'm ready to give it a verdict.
Verdict. All right. Incredibles 2. I was excited for it. As you know, we love Pixar. Incredibles, not at the top of the list, but I think a solid placing around the top 10. I'd have to double check. So I had decent expectations for it. I thought this was visually one of the best looking films. I mean, they just keep on sort of pushing the technology further and further. And I thought the animation was pretty spectacular. Some great action sequences. Enjoyed the characters. Some really funny one-liners. I thought this was definitely one of Pixar's funnier films. Where fall flat is a bit strong, but perhaps where it fell a little short was the story. I thought was a little bit predictable, a little... I was interested, I was invested, but I thought it was, didn't really subvert any expectations or norms for sort of an action movie, animated or otherwise. And there were a couple of touching moments, but nothing that really hit hard, you know, like the end of Inside Out or Coco or Toy Story 3, some of those, you know, Pixar's famous for, you know, tugging on your heartstrings, and there wasn't really anything that, you know, drew that level of emotion out of me. But overall, I found it really enjoyable. I liked it a lot. I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Look, I think this was... My general thought is Pixar are making too many sequels at the moment. Mm-hmm. And, like, Toy Story 3 was incredible. Toy Story 2 was a very good movie. But outside of those ones, and I think, like, Finding Dory, Monsters Uni, and Cars 3 had some really nice things to like about them. But they're generally, other than Toy Story 3, not at the top of the list, and it's more their originals, their Cocos, their Inside Outs that are their strongest efforts, and I'd like to see more of them and less of the sequels. That being said, Incredibles is the one Pixar film I've ever seen where I have wanted a sequel. Like, it's not my favourite Pixar film, but it was the one that was designed to have a sequel. Like, it ends on a bit of a cliffhanger. It's sort of a superhero movie, so you can bring in a new villain. Like, it's sort of the only Pixar film, as good as the Toy Story sequels have been, like, I didn't, at the end of those movies, want another one, or, like, expect another one. Whereas with The Incredibles, I was expecting an Incredible. I mean, for the past however many, 10 years or whatever it's been, expecting another 14 years expecting another Incredibles, so it was really exciting to finally see it. It opened well, picked up where the last one left off, as you say, animation stellar, the music was so good, it's just a great, good story, good characters, all that sort of stuff. I say for me, and I think this is one of the, like, this, the Incredibles and the Incredibles 2, probably two of my favourite superhero movies. Like, you know, I think like it is up there with, they're up there with The Dark Knight and Guardians of the Galaxy as, I mean, probably The Incredibles, Guardians of the Galaxy and The Dark Knight are my three favourite superhero movies. So, really strong. I'd say where for me it's a little weak, or weak's probably a bit strong, but where it sort of what stops it from being, in my mind, one of the absolute top-level Pixar films, is maybe the characters. And not that the characters aren't good, but of that core Incredibles family, like, none of them are probably, like, if I was to rank my favourite Pixar characters that I connect with, are up there. Like, they're not up there with Wally, or Woody and Buzz, or the old man from Up, or even, like, Joy from Inside Out. Like, it's sort of like, they work really well as a group, and the story's really good, and the action's really good, but there's not this, like, character that I really, like, just go, this is one of the great animated characters of all time.
So what you're saying is, if someone put a gun to your head and said, you have to get a tattoo of a Pixar character, you wouldn't be getting a tattoo of Mr. Incredible.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Exactly. like the rat from like Remy from Ratatouille. Like, I wouldn't say no to that.
What would you get? Gun to your head, you've got to get one tattoo of a Pixar character. What tattoo do you get?
Mike Wazowski?
That's a good one. Kind of makes a good tattoo as well, because he's kind of like a funny looking design.
Yeah.
I would probably go, if it wasn't Mike, because that's a good option, I'd probably go Woody.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. I think Wally would be up there for me too.
Bonnie's gonna come back from North Carolina, and she's like, "Who the hell is this cowboy on your arm?"
So, no, like, so, yeah, but that might be my way, is just like, there's not really anything bad about The Incredibles 2. It's just some of the strengths that it lacks.
Hmm.
If that makes sense.
I would agree.
Yeah. So I give it 8.5 out of 10.
8.5. So there you go. Pretty strong. It's going to be... it's going to be... Oh, it's going to be in the mix. It's going to be tough to rank, I think.
I have the list on unlined paper.
Screen Verdict's famous for unlined paper.
I think I used lined paper once and it was a disaster. You want me to read out the list, Jonathan?
The 2016's Papergate. Never forget. Yes, all right. Matt is going to read out our Pixar rank, and should we do from 19 to 1 or 1 to 19?
I don't really mind. I was thinking maybe 19 to 1, and then after we've placed Incredibles 2, I'll then read it out from 1 to 19, all maybe. Right.
I like it. That sounds good to me. Let's kick it off with number 19, Matt. What do we got?
Cars 2. I only keep going. Let me up for each number. Number 18.
Okay, number 18.
Brave.
Number 17.
Good Dinosaur.
Number 16.
Cars 3.
Number 15.
Cars.
Number 14.
Monsters University.
Number 13.
Finding Dory.
Number 12.
A Bug's Life.
Number 11.
Toy Story 2.
And now into our final 10. Number 10.
The Incredibles.
Incredibles. Ooh. Incredibles 2 could push Incredibles out of the top 10. That would be interesting. Number 9.
Finding Nemo.
Number 8.
Ratatouille.
Number 7.
Coco.
Number 6.
Inside Out.
Number 5.
Wall-E.
Number 4.
Up.
Number 3.
Toy Story.
Number 2.
Monsters, Inc.
And the number 1 Pixar film.
The other one. Toy Story 3.
Well, there you go. There's our rank of the 19 Pixar films that came out before Incredibles 2. Now it's our job to place it. Matt, do you have any initial thoughts, an area that you're looking at?
I flagged earlier in the podcast that for mine, your very top shelf, your absolute best Pixars are our top 8. That I think is like a bit of a gap. And I do not think Incredibles 2 lands in that top 8, in my opinion. Which is, goes down from Toy Story 3 down to Ratatouille. Is the problem with that 8?
I would agree with that. I think I did enjoy it, but I don't think it's quite on the level of the top canon of Pixar. Lower down on the list, is there anything that you think it's definitely better than?
I think it's like, some of the other sort of sequels, or in Monsters University case, prequels, of all of those ones, I'm going to leave the Toy Story trilogy out of it for the moment. That's, I think, a slightly different beast. But I think The Incredibles 2 is the best sort of sequel outside of the Toy Story universe that Pixar has produced, which would place it above Finding Dory.
I agree. I think I would put it above Finding Dory, Monsters University, any of the Cars. I think it is the best non-Toy Story sequel. So what's the highest out of those sequels?
It is Finding Dory. So that is it's Finding Dory, Monsters University right after each, like Monsters Uni is right after, but it's Finding Dory is the highest. So we're thinking somewhere below Ratatouille and somewhere above Finding Dory is sort of...
What number is Finding Dory?
13.
So we're thinking somewhere in the 9 to...
9 to 12.
I guess it would be, yeah. All right. Well, what are those? Let's go through them. Let's start at 12.
12 is A Bug's Life. 11 is Toy Story 2. 10 is The Incredibles. And 9 is Finding Nemo. To be honest, like, I could see The Incredibles 2 sort of fitting anywhere in there. Like, that is definitely the spot for Incredibles 2.
Yeah, hearing those read out, I'm thinking this is definitely the right area.
I could make the case why Incredibles 2 is better than any of them, or worse than any of them.
It's a little bit tough, because I'd say those are probably the four that I've seen the longest ago.
I interviewed someone the other day, a Pixar person, someone who's having a pretty prominent voice in one of the Pixar movies, Patton Oswalt.
Oh, yeah.
And he told me what his favourite Pixar movie was. I might save that for after we've done the rank. It can be a little bit of a tease. Keep people listening.
Well, Incredibles 2. Let's start with that.
Discussion. Which do we want higher on the list? Because Incredibles sort of falls sort of at 10, sort of starting to get towards the middle of our sort of range at the moment. So, where would your gut go? Incredibles or Incredibles 2?
It is hard. I'd maybe lean towards Incredibles.
That's what I was thinking. I think that Spyro, I might have the name wrong, villain from The Incredibles 1 was in some, like, the kid who sort of aspired to be Mr. Incredible, then was rejected and then became the villain, was a cool sort of villain story that I think was a little bit better than the... I think the Street Slaver was a cool villain, but didn't have that story that I thought was as interesting.
I'm trying to remember. I think they were called Syndrome. I'm trying to look them up. Yeah, I remember thinking he was a pretty fun villain. I think that his backstory was perhaps a little bit more fleshed out.
And a bit more connected with the Incredibles as well, which I thought was interesting. So I think they're both very similar films in terms of quality.
Okay, so we have below Incredibles, we have Toy Story 2 and A Bug's Life. Do you have a strong opinion on either of those?
It's interesting because looking at the list we have years later, I think it's held up quite well. There'd be a few switches I would make, as I'm sure there are for you. Part of it might be because we compromised on things. Completely agree on everything. One of the switches I would make is probably I would switch around Bug's Life and Toy Story 2. I'd probably like to see both of them again. Part of me is tempted to think The Incredibles 2 is the best sequel outside of Toy Story 3. So there's a part of me that would put it above those two and put it in the 11th slot. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? I can very easily... I do love Toy Story 2 and A Bug's Life, so... I don't think... I wouldn't be too upset if it felt within those two.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter if it's better than the other sequels. It just matters if it's better than those two.
Two is one of the sequels.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you meant outside of, like, Toy Story. But you're including Toy Story 2, but not Toy Story 3.
Yeah, like, it's clearly not better than Toy Story 3. But Toy Story 2 is a good addition to the trilogy, so it's a really good movie. So,
yeah, I could be convinced either way, too. I don't really have a strong feeling on it.
It's sort of headline is Incredibles remains in the top 10, in the top half of Pixar films, and Incredibles. Wherever we place it will be in the bottom 50%, as are Toy Story 2 and Bug's Life.
I don't know. I think you could put it above.
Yeah.
You could have a nice little Incredibles pairing at a 10 and 11.
Yeah, I think that's that's always going to be a tough slot to break up. Like, I do think once we place it there, it will be very difficult for a film that we feel falls within the quality in between The Incredibles, Incredibles 2, but not impossible.
Yeah. So are you happy with that? Are we locking it in?
Yeah, let's lock it in.
There you go. So, we talked about the coveted top 10. Incredibles retains a spot. They're right there. 11 out of 20 is by Pixar standards, is no disappointment. As we said, we gave it an 8 and an 8.5. So that's just how stiff the competition is.
Yeah. So, do you want the list read from top to bottom now?
Yeah, we'll do a quick update, a finalized, updated Pixar rank.
Okay. In number one, Toy Story 3. Number two, Monsters, Inc. Number three, Toy Story. Number four, Up. Number five, Wall-E. Number six, Inside Out. Number seven, Coco. Number eight, Ratatouille. Nine, Finding Nemo. 10, The Incredibles. 11, The Incredibles 2. 12, Toy Story 2. 13, A Bug's Life. 14, Finding Dory. 15, Monsters University. 16, Cars. 17, Cars 3. 18, The Good Dinosaur. 19, Brave. And 20, Cars 2.
There you go. We started with the worst back in 2011 when we started the podcast. So it's good to see that every Pixar film since has been better.
Yeah, I was going to say we've come full circle from last to 11.
That's a good question. What do you think the odds are between now and the end of our lifetimes that Pixar will release a film that we rank higher than Toy Story 3?
The odds. Can I just give a percentage?
Yes.
I'm going to say 53%.
53%.
What do you say?
I'll say 47.
We're really being massive wusses on this. Because really, like, when you're that close to 50, like, really, either way, you can sort of say you were like, yeah, well, I thought it was a good, like, we're really hitching our bets.
Well, because we went either side of 50, I would say that if there is, you can claim it, and if there isn't, I can claim it.
Yeah. But, you can't, because we'll be dead.
Our fans, our respective fan bases, which will split and go their separate ways after our deaths, will argue on our behalves.
See, my one's good, because, like, it'll mean the better one will come out in our lifetime.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you.
yeah, well, you want to see me a good movie. Like, you know, you're not... yeah. I think, like, it does seem like Pixar's glory days are behind them, but, like, sort of the pure peak, but I'm just thinking our lives have so many more years.
I don't know, but my confidence isn't completely lost. It got a little shaky, but Coco and Inside Out are both two of the recent releases, and they're in our, I think they're eight. 6 and 7. Yeah, they're in that top 8, the canon that you spoke of, so...
Top 8, baby!
Yeah, they've still got it in them, and Incredibles 2 was certainly no disappointment, so... We'll keep our fingers crossed.
The next one Pete Doctor does, because he did Monsters, Inc., Inside Out, and Up, which are all in our top 8. So,
3 for 3.
Yeah, well, I've set him up to disappoint us now. Brad Bird, Brad Bird, the only three he's done have been The Incredibles, The Incredibles 2, and Ratatouille. So he's... one of their best as well, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty consistent. 8, 10, and 11.
Yeah. So what do you think Patton Oswalt's favourite Pixar movie was?
Patton Oswalt. I am going to guess, just based on the type
it's
of...
It's not Ratatouille, this, by the way.
Based on the type of guy that Patton Oswalt appears to be on television, I'm going to guess Up.
Oh, this is a good guess. It was Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2. Yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch Toy Story 2. I haven't seen it in recent years. It's for me, it's clearly the third in the... In the Toy Stories, but I saw a poll recently where it was just an online Twitter poll, and it was polling quite well. It was fairly even actually, which shows you the quality of Toy Story. But I think it went 1, 2, 3, and they were all just a couple of percentage points apart, and that surprised me. I didn't really agree with that poll, so yeah, I'll have to give Toy Story 2 another chance. Yeah, did he say what he liked about it?
Look, I can send you the clip.
You're like, what am I, Patton Oswalt's PR person? I don't get paid for this.
For memory, it was something to do with, like, I don't know, as a father, or something like that. Some schmaltzy, like, reason. But it was good. Like, he explained it well. Like, I'm not saying he was wrong, but it was... something to do with that, with the relationships that were touched on in that film growing up and sort of like, so I do wonder maybe when, if we are ever fathers, Jonathan, whether that will be in the trip, like maybe we'll appreciate Toy Story 2 more.
Yeah, we just don't, we just didn't get it.
Yeah.
We need to, is that a good reason to have a kid? You're like, babe, maybe we should have a kid. I heard it helps you enjoy Toy Story 2.
Yeah. I asked him if there was going to be a Ratatouille 2. He didn't think so.
Yeah, it seems self-contained, but I guess they could bring it back if they wanted to.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, is there anything else we needed to cover, or if we covered all our bases on our incredible 2 review and Pixar rank?
I think we've done it.
All right, very good. Well... thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you agree or disagree with any of our rankings, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at facebook.com/screenverdictpodcast. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Let us know if there's anything you'd like us to review. I think upcoming, what do we watch? We both watched some HBO shows. Are there any movies coming out? What are you excited for, Matt?
I saw Jurassic World. I have some opinions on that. I feel like there's a lot of things where I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, Barry, Silicon Valley.
The Ant-Man and the Wasp
is coming out. So, got some reviews in the pipeline. Let us know if there's anything you're keen to hear, and we'll try to help you out. And till then, hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.